As Armenians, the legacy we leave for future Armenians is incredibly important to us. An exemplary couple who established this deep-rooted legacy are Hurayd and Anna Hovnanyan, who established the Hovnanyan Family Foundation. Since its inception in 1986, the foundation has given over $97 million and created a ripple effect of positivity with programs like Birthright Armenia, various scholarships, and projects throughout Armenia. Join us as we learn about the impact this incredible organization has made. Pari Luis, my name is Sophia. I'm the co-host of this podcast with Executive Director Peter Abajian. And today we're joined by Goryun Khachaturian, Executive Director of the Hurayd Hovnanyan Family Foundation in Armenia. Pari Luis to both of you.
Pari Luis, Sophia.
Pari Luis.
We're going to just jump right into the questions here. Can you speak to the type of impact that the foundation has made in Armenia?
Sure, Sophia. Thanks for inviting me. The foundation, as you mentioned, was established in 1986. It's quite old for, you know, the similar type of organizations that run in Armenia today. And they've earmarked over almost, I'd say, $100 million in several big, impactful activities and organizations initiatives in Armenia. So one of them that you mentioned was Birthright Armenia. Birthright Armenia is for, you know, young diasporan Armenians who want to sort of discover Armenia in a new way, and especially in volunteering. We have a sister organization that's called ABC, Armenian Volunteering Corps, that the second NGO that the foundation has founded. So it's the model. The foundation itself, the Hovnanyan Foundation, Family Foundation in Armenia, is structured in a very interesting way, in the sense that whenever we have an established program or activity, basically it becomes a spin-off organization. And so that's how Birthright was created. That's how AVC was created. And we have now Repat Armenia as well that we took over. So we did not create the NGO per se, but we took over Repat Armenia, done for repatriation. That's also quite an impactful organization in Armenia. And then we also created Hike Armenia, a lot of Armenia in the NGOs we call for hikers. So very tourism related, a lot of different spin-off organizations. And not separated from the foundation, we also run a couple interesting programs, such as we've done in the past scholarships, and we do and we still do the grants. So we have a grant program, very attractive and very, I'd say, unique, in the sense that we have specific areas of focus that we want to focus our spendings. And then we're also very demanding. So the grantees know that, and we want to, you know, make the most of the money we spend, or we basically provide to the different organizations. So we have a huge grant program on a quarterly basis. And then we have something that we launched 2 years ago. Not a lot of people are aware of this program, but I'd like to share it with you today. It's our Tavush irrigation and water supply system project that we have. So what's the Tavush, you may ask? What do we do in Tavush specifically? 2 years ago, with the region of Tavush, the northern part of Armenia, we signed a memorandum of understanding that's basically going to target all the bordering villages of the Tavush region. We're talking about 20 to 23 villages, so that's quite a lot. And we're taking all the villages, and together with the government, the central government of Armenia, we're basically renovating the entire network of irrigation systems, as well as the water supply. So drinking water and irrigation water. All these, you know, villages will soon, it's a five-year plan, so it's going to take time. But in 5 years' time, we'll have completely renovated systems for both drinking water and irrigation.
That's terrific. You know, I wanted to ask specifically about this water project because much of the work that we do is based in Tavush. Probably a third of our resources on an annual basis are spent in Tavush on both humanitarian and development projects, economic development stuff. So I wanted to target and ask you specifically about this because we haven't actually physically met quite yet. Our organizations have crossed paths in Tavush because we're talking about water. We've done a couple of water projects with the Tavush region and with the local governments. If I understood what you just said correctly, your plan with the foundation is to completely address both irrigation and drinking sources of water for those, specifically those border communities.
That is correct, Peter. So it's a big venture. It's a big venture, but I think it's a critical work that we've engaged in. We're doing this in phases. People might ask, why do we do this in 5 years and not in 1 year? And it's a very good question, because we do not have enough capacity to do it, in 1 year. And by saying enough capacity, it's not the resources, the financial resources of the foundation. We're talking here about people or organizational businesses who design the systems. We in mm-hmm. Armenia. So this just to give you a whole overview of this project. It's an initiative we launched in 2 years ago, specifically for the Tavush region and specifically for the bordering villages. We're doing this hand in hand with the government, meaning all of these projects are subsidized or are co-financed by the government, by the central government, by taxpayers' money, basically in Armenia. So the way it works is the villages, we call them communities now in Armenia, legally speaking, they present one by one their own projects to the government every year. It's called the subvention program. It's something quite new in Armenia. It works pretty well, and it's getting better and better over time. So they do this, and we participate in two phases. We participate for 100% of the design phase so that we can, truly get the best of the best in terms of design. Whenever somebody, and I'm sure you're very familiar with this problem or this, challenges in Armenia, whenever there is construction involved, the design phase is critical. And especially in Armenia, where they like to, let things go and then think over time how we can fix this and this. We took the philosophy of we do the best design we can with the best firms we have in Armenia. We lock it, basically, and then we pass it on to the village so that they can organize their own public tenders for construction. So first phase is design phase. Second phase is the construction phase. Design is handled by us, by our mm-hmm. own specialist, 100% financed by the foundation. So we get to choose who we work with. And that's one of the capacity that's a little bit lacking in Armenia. We do not have, hundreds of firms who are specialized in water irrigation system designs.
Of course. So let me ask you this. The challenges we've seen in Tavush are, kind of twofold. One is the source of the water and bringing it to the community. With global warming, there's obviously water problems around the world now, but, in Tavush, if it's a dry winter, there isn't a lot of sources of water. So there's a problem with, how far and from where you're going to, tap the source of water and how far you need to pump it and that piping infrastructure, et cetera, et cetera. And now I got it to the consolidated community, let's say of Bert or of, whatever, Noam Bedion. And then there's the internal distribution network, which are the system of pipes water meters that go to the individual homes. We've been engaged in, kind of all of those things in the past. So I'm curious, if the community doesn't raise the water meters at the homes as a problem, and submit it to the government, then it might not get addressed as part of this global Tavush water repair renovation kind of program.
So great insight. I have to say, you addressed the critical problems and issues that the entire country in Armenia is facing. So the way it was agreed a couple years ago, 2 years ago, is we're going to do all of them, but in different phases because of lack of capacity. So the villages, basically, we pick and choose which village we start with first. And then we do in batches, 5 villages per year, so that we can, in 5 mm-hmm. years, have at least almost 20. So they don't come up with, their own ideas. They come to us, the villages, the communities, with their own needs, their own problems. Some of them do have an internal network for water supply, just like you said. Some of them have nothing. Some of them do have a network, but it's completely old. It dates back from the Soviet times. They need to redo the whole pumping station, and we're working on them. Some of them do have meters, but they don't work, so we replace the meters. Some of them, I can tell you another critical issue that we're addressing is, okay, now that we're doing the whole design and construction phases, we're investing this much, be it the government or the Hovnanian Foundation, how do we make sure that we can sustain those systems? Because what happened is, during the Soviet times, even some remote areas in Armenia were actually quite well off in terms of infrastructure. So they would have, the pipes, they would have the pumping station, et cetera, et cetera. But all of this during this past 30 years, fell into despair. So how do we make sure that the whole system, there is a whole system in place so that they can sustain? So when we speak about sustainability, obviously there is this financial aspect. Mm-hmm. So what happened is, it was very recently, actually, with our water engineer, we went to Tavush to meet with these two different institutions, one for drinking water and one for the irrigation system. So the good news is those institutions do exist. So we're not, reinventing the wheel here. They do exist. You mentioned the BERT, the Noyemberian, etc. So for the irrigation system, for the entire Tavush region, we're speaking about one single institution, and that institution is public. So what happens is, and what's happening right now in Armenia is, they do exist. They get the public, the funding, the proper funding for salaries, for, maintenance stuff from the central government, but they can't do investment. So capital investment is completely dead, but maintenance is still there. So what happens is, we're going to do the capital investments together with the government, and they're going to be able to maintain this at least for the years to come, 10 years, 20 years to come.
Great.
For the water supply, it's a whole different story. Water supply goes to the households directly. So we put the meters, we put the whole system in place. Now, for the water supplies, it's a privately owned sort of institution. We've got Veolia Jur, which is well known in Armenia now because it's taking care of all the water supply in big towns, and especially in Yerevan, the capital city. But Veolia wouldn't go to these remote places, especially in Tavush and the villages.
Correct.
So what's at stake here is to put in place strong and build capacity, strong institutions, strong public institutions. We're calling them the water users associations in these consolidated communities, so they can put a whole system in place of collecting the money from the households, and making sure that this whole new system now it works very smoothly. So that's also in our role. We're making sure that whatever is invested truly can serve, you know, for many, many years.
That's great. That's great. You know, it's funny when we some of the work we've done in a couple of the communities, what happens is you prioritize drinking water over, we in the past have put an emphasis on drinking water over, you know, getting a higher priority over irrigation water. And because the water usage is so inexpensive and or because they don't have meters in these communities, you know, you get the water, drinking water flowing into people's homes and they use it to irrigate because they don't have any irrigation water. So really, I'm really super happy to hear that both systems are being addressed because that's very, very important. And it'll take some of the burden off of us helping with water projects. So I'm even happier. Listen, I want to ask about some, what are the, you know, other than this five-year plan, what other, you know, what does the future of the Hovnanian Foundation have? What directions do you see it going in? And what, you know, what plans, if any, do you have in place already?
So that's an excellent question. And it's funny you ask it to me. I was recruited, you know, with the promise from our president, Edil Hovnanian, that, you know, we need to transform and to transform the whole organization and to make it a similar organization like Carnegie, you know, and Rockefeller, et cetera, et cetera. It's a big foundation with a big name to do great work over decades and decades after Mr. Herar Hovnanian and Anna Hovnanian, you know, passed away. So it's a family foundation. Primarily focus, as you can guess, is engaging with the diaspora. So it's either bringing, you know, people from the diaspora through Birthright, AVC, Repat Armenia to engage with Armenia. It's also, you know, doing some work in the diaspora. Let's not forget that the Hovnanian Foundation finances every year different initiatives in the U.S., in the United States, such as scholarships. You know, it also gives grants to American organizations. So we're also doing work in the U.S. A lot of diasporan Armenians, and what Armenia as well has tried to do over after independence, is, you know, bridging these two entities. That one is the diaspora, and the second is the homeland. And I think the foundation, through small, though very impactful projects and initiatives like Birthright, and now Repat, AVC, even Hike Armenia, is trying to address. One big idea that we have is how we can scale up our existing at least two organizations. Number one is this Birthright AVC, I would call them one, for volunteering. And second is Repat, for repatriation. So now we're exploring ideas, and it can go as far as, you know, building lodging, accommodation for temporary, you know, people coming into Armenia, repatriating first in there, and then, you know, settling in. It can go as far as creating a whole neighborhood. We have this word, which is it's an Israeli concept, the kibbutz concept. We might invest and explore, you know, this kibbutz concept in Armenia, and again trying to bridge, you know, diasporans with the homeland. So those are our crazy ideas that we're exploring right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. And you kind of answered our signature question in your last answer, but we ask every guest this: what can people do to get involved? Is there a website that we can link below for people to learn more? And if someone was listening and wants to go on Birthright, how can they get involved?
So there are multiple ways to get involved with the foundation. Obviously, we've got a website, hovnanianfoundation.org. That's number one. We have a lot that you can do there. The second way you can get involved is through our volunteering programs. So you can apply to the Birthright program, to the AVC program. You can repatriate and help us, make Armenia great again, as they say. And I think the one of the interesting thing that you can do as well to truly join our momentum is, and that's a nice a formula that our president Edil once said. She has a podcast actually with that title. She says Fearless Dreamers. So I think dreaming big is something we want to see Armenians do more and more. And we can help them through our grant, scholarship, fellowship, even. It's a program I forgot to mention earlier, you know, through these programs. So you can apply if you're an Armenian globally for our fellowship program that's open. It's online. The entire application process is very clearly indicated on the website, hovnanyanfoundation.org. You can apply for grants if you have crazy ideas that you want to implement in Armenia. And we're going to look for, you know, the true dreamers, true implementers, true dreamers. We like, as you guessed, niche activities. Hiking is something not everybody likes to do, but it's something that could potentially, you know, be something big for Armenia, given its landscape, you know, its nature, etc. So, you know, you can join in many different ways.
That's amazing. Well, thank you for sharing all of that. We'll add the link to the website and in the description of the podcast for anyone who wants to check it out. We really appreciate you being here today and telling us more about the Hovnanyan Foundation and all the great work you guys are doing.
Thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing you in a month or so in Armenia.
Likewise. Thank you, Sophia and Peter. And great job in good luck in what you do too.
Thank you so much. And thank you to all of our listeners. We hope you have a great day.